Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. I want to welcome you into the show. My friends, I think we need to have a very serious conversation about the old school versus the new school. You might ask, well, Austin, what is the old school of conservatives? Because with Trump in power, we're seeing an interesting shift between the more older, more conservative independents slash libertarians, whatever, however you want to identify, the people who voted for Trump and the people who didn't. Now, in that list of people that voted for Trump, I'm finding it very interesting how we're seeing a shift. And maybe that shift was always there, but it's being exacerbated. Now I'm more than ever before by things like the feud between Musk and Trump. The more con men, like pseudo-conservatives who talk about them Israel and Iran day and night, talking about the Epstein list day and night, trying to provoke you into their conspiracy junkies. The conspiracy junkies, the anti-Semites, the warmongers, the moral relativists in our midst, who are really just influencers who are cashing in on Trump and the Trump show day and night. And then you got the older guys. You got the older guys, because there's a mixed bag of those influencers that I'm talking about. But then you got the old school guys, the guys on talk radio, guys like Sean Hannity, guys like Mark Levin, guys like, I even say that Ben Shapiro is kind of on the fence with that one. But the more old school, like Rush, may he rest in peace, guys, you know, guys like him. Where they're more old school Republican, Czech Pants Republican types who hated Trump for a while until they realized, you know what, Ted Cruz won't win. Ron Paul's kind of history and rooted tons of anti-Semitism in my estimation. So instead, what they did was they started to back Trump. They didn't like Trump, but they said, Trump's probably going to win, so I'd rather just ride his coattails a little bit. And then that's not just the old school guys. Old school and new school has done that. But when you look at this very interesting shift, you have to draw your own opinions. And for those of you who are more politically inclined, you probably already have. But for those of you who are not politically inclined, you might have not even noticed this shift between the more new school, which is social media, X, these more new platforms, media, versus the old school, which is more old, the old media, the mainstream media, talk radio, stuff like that. And there's a very big shift when it comes to where they line up on what, and they're turning on each other. Now, a lot of people will like an individual, whether it be like Taylor Swift, for example, and they'll say, Taylor voted for Kamala, so I'll vote for her, you know, the morons. The morons who fall for cult personalities. They say, I like this person, so therefore I like who they're voting for, so I'm going to vote for them. You'd be surprised how many people fit in that category, by the way. But I think that more than anything, you need to look at who these people, and I bet you specific names. I don't want to get hung up on individual people because that could kind of pigeonhole the conversation. But there are specific individuals who are hijacking the movement. They're hijacking Trump and his goals and our goals as the people who voted for him. And they're making it about themselves. They're making it about them. For example, I'll use one example that I can't stand this person anymore. I used to think they're okay. I hate them now. Despise them. Candace Owens. I despise her. Why? Because she went from being, you know, a little bit like, okay, she's going against the grain. She's a black woman talking about on the more conservative side. Okay, you know, you're the black sheep, for lack of a better term, and I'm interested. Now, it's all about, I don't like Jews, I don't like Ben Shapiro, and I'm going to go full-on anti-Trump, anti-Israel, it's like, who even are you anymore? All I taste when I hear it is just sour grapes. Now, there might be more to it, but that's all I could see. And then you got guys who are kind of flirting with the more anti-Israel, pro-Muslim side of things while pretending to be libertarians, pretending to be conservatives, pretending to be people who are more on the pseudo, they're not left-wingers, but they're not really right-wingers. They're more like pseudo-independents, where they're just kind of hijacking the whole thing. They're hijacking a lot of conservative talking points and going to flirt with the Muslim side of everything. Guys like Dan Bilzerian, for example. Guys like Andrew Tate, for example. And again, I don't want these people to sue me if they end up listening to the show, but I'm using them not so much to attack these people personally, but to use them as an example of what we're talking about, which people who are hijacking the movement and making it about themselves. MAGA's being put into a meat grinder and is being thrown. These people are being held up as they were MAGA, now they're not, but they say that they are, but that the Trump's the problem, but they voted for him. The whole thing is a gigantic disgrace. You know, I gotta give the left-wingers credit. I gotta give them credit. Even though there are more, you know, left-center people, and then there are complete progressive, aka communists, they still back their own, even if they don't like them. And they'll deal with them in private, not on the internet, like Trump and Musk do, for example, where they're attacking each other on social media. Full view for everybody to see, and it's tearing people apart because they don't know who to sign with, they don't know who's right, but they also got their life. They're not paid to look at this crap. They just skim the headlines, and they're like, I don't know what to agree with, I don't know what to oppose. I like Trump, or, oh, I like Elon, but now they don't like each other. Where should I stand on these things? Most people are not like you. Yes, you listening to the show. They're not like you, but they actually kind of care about what they care about politics, or they care about what I think about politics. They care about the pebble in the shoe, as Cicero called it. Cicero was an older Roman historian. He wrote about the pebble in the shoe. People didn't care about an ancient Rome. They didn't care about where the legions were fighting in Gaul. They didn't care about what was going on with the politicians in the Senate. They didn't care about what the emperor was doing. They didn't care about what was the stuff that was going on beyond their control. They cared about the price of bread. They cared about the price of wine. And they cared about the pebble in their shoe and how to get rid of it. It was that simple. That's what they care about. In the same way that people today, they care about bread and butter issues. They care about, hey, how am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to survive? That's what they care about. Everything else is gravy for most people. That's why when you hear a lot of politicians talk about economy this, middle class that, it's all about the economy. They know people care about money. So when it comes to money issues, they are usually on the same page, but then they'll verge to the left or to the right, like a sharp left turn or a sharp right turn on the highway. They'll take a sharp left turn when it comes to issues that are more polarizing. And it's become popular because it gets clicks. It's become popular because people make a lot of money off of it. Not because they're right. Not because they're bringing anything original to the table. They're just stoking the fire. They're rage baiting. They're rage baiting, trying to spark people into being reactionary instead of trying to provoke constructive and very important dialogue. They don't care about that. They care more about they're disgruntled, they're discontent, they're money hungry, and they want to make a name for themselves. They do it using Trump and MAGA, Elon Musk, you name it. And then you got the old school guys who have the check pants boomers, the check pants Gen Xers, who love to feel comfortable talking down to Gen Z, love feeling comfortable talking about how Gen Alpha is not worth anything, millennials are lazy, Gen Z is lazy, the Gen Alpha won't be any different, those types. Look at those damn, you know, whippersnappers, they're ruining everything. We older people, we had it right. We did everything correct. And it's these young people that are throwing away their lives on social media. It's the young people who are the problem. And then you have the young people saying the old people are the problem because the boomers are giving away all their wealth. They go on a cruise. They're selling out the BlackRock to get a check to go to the Bahamas. And they bought their house for $100,000 back in 1975, and now it's worth $1 million, and they're selling the house. Instead of building generational wealth, they're gambling it all away to have a good time. They said, hey, I worked at the plant, I worked at the factory, and now I want to go have fun. I want to be retired. I want to have fun. So what do? They sell their house to BlackRock for above asking price, and their grandkids and their kids don't have that generational wealth. And you look at the fact that back in the day, in the boomer, a Gen X generation, the old school that we're talking about, you could work at the plant, you could work at the Ford plant, and you could have a car, a house, and 2.5 kids and a golden retriever. But now, two people in Generation Z, like my generation, we're working our ass off and we can barely afford to live anywhere, have anything. And they want to sit there and say, oh, they're just lazy. No. Your wife could stay at home. Our wives can't do that. Mm-mm. Our girlfriends can't do that. Mm-mm. That's why a lot of people are being priced out in the dating marketplace. See, everything is connected, my friends. That's what you got to realize. Why am I talking about politics? Because everything is connected. It's the spinal cord. Everything is connected to the political world. That's why everything has become so highly politicized, highly polarizing. It's all interwoven, interconnected. You can't have one without the other. Money, thought, politics, it's all interconnected into the big melting pot of America. That's why it's so important to us. That's why it's important to me. I'll make it about me. My show, I'll make it about me. That's why it's important to me. I hope it's important to you. Because if we don't understand where our information is coming from, if we don't care about where these old school people, new school people, whether it be on the left, right, or center, or totally off the grid and totally off to, you know, far left or far right, we need to know why people are doing this. It's about money, because money and power are one and the same. Power is only as good as long as it lasts. Money lasts. One of my favorite shows is called House of Cards. It's with Kevin Spacey. I know Kevin Spacey's not a great person, but he's a great actor. And one of the best performances I've ever seen him do was in this show called House of Cards. And in this show, he plays a guy named Frank Underwood. And he's a congressman from, I believe it's South Carolina. And what he does is he works his way up the food chain, but he has these little like fourth wall breaks where he talks to the camera, to you, the audience, to me, and he's explaining why he's making the choices he's making and why he does what he does and how he does it. And one of the things he famously says in the show is about power versus money. He says that money is the new beachfront mansion that starts falling apart after 25 years, whereas power is that cobblestone Romanesque palace that lasts for centuries. And I agree with him to an extent, but here's the one thing that I think we need to fixate on. Power is better than money as long as it lasts. But if you can't keep the power, money's the next best thing. And so when you look at it, influence is power. The ability to mobilize people and manipulate them is power. So when we look at that and we look at the old school and the new school and how they're vying for influence, they're vying for you, your thoughts, your money, your emotions, your time. That's what they're fighting for. They want you to believe them. They want you to be focused on conspiracies, on Trump's right all the time about everything, whatever it is, whatever their shtick is. They want you to be distracted away from doing what I think you should do, which is think for yourself. That's why I call this show Sheep, the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, because sheep used to get slaughtered, but now the politicians are so smart, the wolves are so smart, that instead of slaughtering you for a one-time use, they come back every season, every so often, to shear you, take everything from you and leave you, then come back once you have more. That is what we're living in this landscape, both political and non-political. The wolves don't just take one single appearance. The wolves aren't just found in Washington. The wolves are found everywhere, from Wall Street to Washington to your local Walmart. They're everywhere. And you need to be aware that it's not going to show up as a, oh, here's my fork and my knife and I'm going to, you know, eat you for dinner. It's a no. They're going to come. They're going to take your stuff. They're going to take your time. They're going to take your wealth. They're going to take your emotions. And then eventually they're going to leave you and come back. Or another wolf finds you and try to do the same thing again. And this, my friends, is why you need to be aware of who you listen to, why you're listening. Are you falling for rage bait? Or are you actively trying to better yourself? Educating yourself, understanding why you're in the situations you're in and how you got there and why you're still there and how you can get out. All these things are important. They all play a role in you being a productive citizen of the world and doing something to better your life. Not pad someone else's pocketbook, but do what's right for yourself and the people you care about. That's what matters. Not caring about what some schmuck thinks about Israel or Iran. Not what some moron thinks about Ukraine or Russia. I mean, those things matter, don't get me wrong. But it's not the end of the line. Who cares about World War III when your world's falling apart? Who cares about what's going on across the globe when across the street? You're afraid to go across the street because your life is falling apart. Your life's not where you want it to be. You're not doing what you want to be doing and you feel like you can't get ahead. Make no mistake. You're not alone if you think that. Or if you're just discontent. Do not fall for rage bait due to being discontent. Don't let that happen to you. Understand that reactions are barely ever positive. The only way for positive change to be cultivated is for you to take a calculated risk and a calculated response, not a reaction. You want to be proactive, not reactive. Reactions tend to be emotional. Being proactive tends to be long thought out and planned. My friends, it's really hard to escape these things if you're paying close attention to the political landscape, but I would encourage you to form your own opinions and not just agree with people you like or disagree with people that you don't like. That's easy. Anybody can do that. It takes someone who's mature and somebody who truly wants to look at things in a more in-depth angle to listen to every side of the spectrum and decide for yourself what you believe and what you don't believe. Because in my opinion, it lies somewhere in the middle, not only on the left, only on the right, or even the left side of the middle or the right side of the middle. You gotta find the right course of action. Hi, friends, let me know what you think. Do you agree with the new school, old school, no school? What do you agree with? What do you care about? Who do you like most in the media and why? Who do you dislike most in the media and why? I want to hear all of it. It's all relevant. Because we're all in this fight, we're all living this life, and I think it's important for us to exchange notes. My friends, take care of yourselves, and I will revisit this topic probably in the next day, 2 days or so. I got a new dog, so he's been very time-consuming. I'll be posting him a little more on the show, mostly on YouTube, because there'll be cute little videos that kind of offset the fact that the political sphere and our lives are kind of all over the place right now, give a little levity. My friends, take care of yourselves, and I'm out of here. Peace.